welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, April 14th. That's Confederate History Month 2012. March is on. We're coming to you this evening from the flagship studios, our comfy confines at AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. All right, folks, if you have not yet joined us, now's the time to do so. Get the party started early. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, click at the link at the top of our blog roll, and come right on over to the CFCC online chat, the Political Cesspool online chat virtual fan party sponsored by the CFCC, our partners. Anyway, we're here. The party has started. And Keith, I tell you, my friend, it's going to be a very busy show tonight. I said in the promotional email that I sent out a few minutes ago, this will be the busiest show so far for us this year, and there's no business like show business. The only thing, the cherry on top of the cake of a busy night is the fact that we were not ready to go live until about 60 seconds before I said hello with some technical difficulties here on my end, but thankfully we got those fixed and we linked up with the network, and now we're rocking and rolling. Breathing a sigh of relief as always, Keith. Great to be here with you.
Good to be here with you. Flying by the seat of our pants as usual, but sometimes that winds up being the best radio, and you found that to be the case?
Hey, it has to be the case because it's the only way we do it around here. Live, unrehearsed, and uncensored, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, taking on the Vandals and Visigoths of multiculturalism here every Saturday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we're ready to do it again this evening. As I said, a busy show. Normally, we spend half of the first segment of the first hour welcoming everybody, getting them seated, doing a little lighthearted banter. We don't have time for that tonight. We got to get right into it, and then getting into it. Big story, obviously, George Zimmerman officially charged with second-degree murder. It took him over a month to make up their minds as to whether or not they were going to charge him. And, Keith, you and I were having our customary midweek pre-show planning session, and we ate at a local barbecue joint this week, as fate would have it. And we were talking about how we were going to present this story to the audience tonight. And I think what's striking to me is that, number one, we can never underestimate the power of the media, particularly left-wing media bias, to manufacture a desired result. I think certainly the media bias and portrayal of this story has led to these charges. And from there, Keith, I'm going to toss it over to you. There was just a couple of other observations I made in watching this. Number one, the special prosecutor down there, Angela Corey, looked as though she was trying out or auditioning for a guest slot on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I mean, she was just grandstanding there when she made her statement to the press as to why this case was moving forward and why they sought charges. Could be a budding governor down there in Florida. We'll wait and see. Now, Keith, also with this going apparently going to trial now, it's going to drag out for at least another year. This is going to be great for Obama. This is going to be a calling card that he punches time and time again as he rallies his base between now and November. That and much, much more. But that was just what came to the top of my head when I read the breaking news story midweek.
Well, it could be great for Obama, but it could also backfire on Obama, because if the Hispanic community gets behind Zimmerman and starts wondering why one of their own is being persecuted so, this would be Obama's greatest nightmare. This would be the thing that Eric Holder, Rahm Emanuel, and all of these people, David Axelrod, have been fearing, and that would be pitting blacks against Hispanics. And if that happened, then, I mean, this would be the mother of all storms for the Democrat presidential hope. It would go down the tubes. Now, the thing about what has happened, I don't want any of the significance of this to be lost on any member of our audience. This is really a discouraging development, but it shows you how completely the left has taken over by a Gromchian long march through the institutions, every institution in our society, the entertainment industry, the news media, the government, the judiciary, the prosecutorial machinery in America. You know, we were supposedly a government of laws, not men, as Edmund Burke famously said you know, several centuries ago. But we're obviously not that anymore. If the left decrees and decides that somebody's going to be prosecuted for murder, voila, it happens. You know, you find too many of these sycophantic, fashionable whites like this Angela Corey. And by the way, she does not look Scots-Irish to me, although she has a Scots-Irish name. I suspect Murano here. And like you said, she's obviously willing to prostitute herself in order to move ahead in the world. And I guarantee you we're going to be hearing about her later throwing her hat in the ring for some higher office. But they found the right person to be the special prosecutor. And furthermore, this special prosecutor decided to circumvent the normal machinery and not take this to the grand jury. Very unusual. When I heard that, I knew the fix was in. See, the fix is in through prosecution. OJ would never have walked had not a chicken-hearted district attorney named Gil Garcetti decided that he would succumb to the pressure of the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons and allow OJ to be tried in a friendly black-dominated precinct rather than in Beverly Hills, which is not predominantly black or Hispanic, which is where the crime was committed and where it should have been prosecuted. Then he deals it off to a couple of neophyte prosecutors and lets them fall on the sword because, like so many white Gentiles, Gil Garcetti was a fashionable chicken. And you see what's happened in Sanford, Florida. The actual prosecutor, the elected prosecutor, decided to take it to take a powder and not do this. And then we get this special prosecutor appointed, and I'm sure that the left picked this person, handpicked them, because they knew they would do their bidding and prosecute. And, you know, this man's life is basically ruined. What he needs to do is start calling himself Jorge Zimmermanos and make a overt plea for Hispanic support. I understand the head of La Raz has already said he's ashamed that he's an Hispanic. So consequently, it looks like they've got at least La Raz in tow, the left does. But I'm sure there are some other groups out there that might get off the reservation, so to speak. And if they did, this could be the mother of all storms for the Democrats.
Well, and Keith, another thing to keep in mind here, and we'll get your thoughts about this after the commercial break, which we're coming up on right now. It's not just George Zimmerman on trial. It's, well, white people, as you say, but stand your ground, the right to carry. The Second Amendment itself will be on trial with this. You better be sure of it. They're going to put, they're going to take everything they can and go to war against it all. So we'll talk more about that on the flip side. Like every mainstream media broadcast, we exhausted the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story last month, but now with the charges being filed, we're back at it again. We're just getting started. Stay tuned. Very busy night. We'll be back after these words.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. it is time for you to read the most daring underground publication, Spreading the Word Through Print. It seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as I said, very, very busy night tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to Keith to allow him the opportunity to wrap up his thoughts on the newest manifestation in the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story, the fact that George Zimmerman is in custody, has been charged officially with second-degree murder. Will it stand, Keith? And keep in mind, this is a state that allowed Casey Anthony to walk free. Certainly, there is, you know, this is a much more complex case than that one appeared to be. It appeared to be that was an open and shut. She would go to jail. She walked free. Of course, she didn't have accusations of racism to run around.
What's the old song? Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Well, whatever the Black Caucus wants and whatever Jesse and Al Sharp, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton want, they get. So if they want a prosecution, they'll get it. But make no mistake, a lot of white people think they have no dog in this hunt because Zimmerman is not white. He's not a white Gentile. He was adopted by a Jewish man, ergo the name Zimmerman. But in terms of his biology, he's a mestizo, born of a Peruvian mother, and I believe a Peruvian father, too. So consequently, he is a mestizo. But there are plenty of mestizo on black killings. There are plenty of mestizo on mestizo killings. But we would never have heard about this but for the fact that he has a white-sounding name, and he is going to be the surrogate white man. As we said last week, the left is always waiting with bated breath for that Alabama Ku Klux Klan lynching that never seems to happen anymore. So when it doesn't happen, they've got to improvise, and the latest improvisation is this George Zimmerman case. And, of course, Zimmerman provoked a lot of black people into resurrecting this famous topic they have called the talk. The talk they supposedly have with their teenage and pre-teenage sons, telling them that you've got to be very careful with any encounter with the police. Doesn't matter how trumped up the charge is. You may be stopped for driving while black, but you never do anything that would possibly provoke a reaction because as a black male, you are such a target that you're liable to wind up in the morgue if you do anything other than say yes, sir, and no, sir. Well, that's supposedly the talk. Then this week, Another goodie came up. John Derbyshire, as they say in England, we call it Derbyshire over here in America, who writes for the National Review, wrote an article for Talkie Mag, which is supposedly the white parents' version of the talk to their children about racial reality regarding blacks. And, of course, when white people try to do what black people do, white people cross the line and are going to get fired. And that's what happened in Derbyshire. This is part of a bigger problem that we have. White people, you know, every group in America has an identity politics expression or an outlet, like the NAACP for blacks. We've got La Raza and LULAC for Hispanics. We have all this lobbying, all these lobbying groups for business interests for the military-industrial complex, and they're all basically vying for a piece of the pie with the government. The reason why the left, like William Raspberry, a black syndicated columnist, said whites can never be allowed to get involved in this identity politics tussle is because we still outnumber everyone else, and if we started acting like all of these other identity groups, we would absolutely sweep the field, and the leftist anti-white Gentile agenda would stall in its tracks like Hitler's army did in Russia in 1943 during Operation Barbarossa. So they can't allow that to happen, James.
Well, Keith, we're going to be talking, since you mentioned John Derbyshire, and getting back to the busy night that we have in store for you, ladies and gentlemen, we will be talking with Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance Magazine, about the heads that have rolled at National Review this week, including the heads of John Derbyshire and Robert Weisberg. And I think, Keith, perhaps before the hour ends, you might have a few things to say about Bob Weisberg. And folks, if you don't know the story behind the story, check out thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we'll tell you about it. But anyway, Jared's going to be on to talk about what's going on at National Review. Very interesting story. I don't want to give away too much too soon, but that's coming up during the second hour. Also in the second hour, Reverend Ted Pike will be back with us for back-to-back weeks. He was with us last week to talk about his righteous crusade against the anti-Christian primetime television show on ABC, GCB. It had a back-to-back doubleheader on Easter. Ted Pike's going to be back with us this evening after Jared Taylor to fill us in on the ongoing campaign that he is waging against that monstrosity. So we look forward to not one, but two great guests during the second hour, Jared Taylor, Ted Pike, and then the third hour, ladies and gentlemen, again, as Confederate History Month continues, we will be sharing stories about the heroes of the South and little-known history of the Confederate States of America. Joining us for the third hour will be another special guest and a first-time political cesspool guest, Perry Short. He wrote the book he wrote a very good book on the Battle of Chickamauga, one of the pivotal battles of the war between the states. So all that and more coming, if you can believe it. Before this show is over tonight, we're going to give you all that and much more. One thing quickly, Keith, about the Zimmerman thing that I wanted to get to before we move on and set the stage for the guests to come. You mentioned again, why hasn't these so-called Hispanic advocacy groups like La Raza? Now, we certainly wouldn't call them an Hispanic advocacy group. We would call them perhaps even a hate group and certainly an anti-white group, but they call themselves, like the NAACP does, an advocacy group for that particular race, that particular numeric minority for now. Why are they not rallying behind George Zimmerman? Well, your answer is as good as mine, Keith. You said this could be a good thing for us or potentially a bad thing for Obama if the Hispanics would challenge the black establishment just as much as they would had Zimmerman been shot by a white person, if the story had been shifted. Well, you know, what they're saying is the head of La Raza said that she is ashamed that Zimmerman is an Hispanic in this case, and that Hispanics and blacks need to join together and fight white people. This is what she said this week. So not only did she throw Zimmerman under the bus, she went so far as to say that they will always be allied with blacks against whites, and that Zimmerman, in this case, I guess, can play the role of a white person, even though he's not. All that going on, plus increased calls for vigilantism, from the Black Panthers, the powder keg, the melting pot is turning in, of course it never was, it's turning into a powder keg, and the fuse is short. Make all of that what you will, Keith.
Well, let me make this of it. Obviously, La Raza has been paper trained and housebroken, and the left has got them right there as a little minor cog in the Rainbow Coalition, just as Jesse Jackson intended them to be. But apparently the word hasn't gotten out to the Hispanic street, or else you wouldn't see this ethnic cleansing of neighborhoods around Los Angeles where Hispanics are just shooting any black person in order to claim a neighborhood as their turf. And even more so, the word hasn't gotten into the California prison system where blacks and Hispanics are going at each other hammer and tongs, and the Hispanics are winning that particular fight, and blacks are emigrating out of California because of this. Now, see, they can try to paper over these differences as much as they want to, but it would be really interesting if this particular episode in which they are hunting and hoping to portray George Zimmerman, they're hoping that most people are so facile and so shallow that they're not going to look any further than to at the name and say that this must be a white guy. Because if the blacks and the Hispanics start having a turf war over this, then this could be the nightmare for the multiculturalists.
Folks, we're going to take a break with that and shift gears when we come back on the other side of these commercials. Stay tuned. The Political Cesspool rolls on right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. Our piece about the arrest of George Zimmerman has now been said. And now we want to move on to another heavy topic of conversation that's going to dominate a fairly significant portion of the show tonight, and that is what's going on at the halls of National Review magazine this week. And again, I wanted the incomparable Jared Taylor to be my guest because he had a relationship with the two gentlemen whose heads have rolled there at National Review over the course of the last week and a half. John Derbyshire was the first. He wrote a very honest, elementary level article for another publication. He didn't even write it for National Review. He wrote it for Talkies Magazine. And even though he was writing it for a different publication, that was enough to get him fired for National Review. He didn't even get fired for anything he said in National Review. We're going to let Jared Taylor talk about what Derbyshire said when he comes on at the top of the next hour. But also dismissed from National Review this week was one Robert Weisberg, who was a or is a professor at a university in Illinois. He shared the podium with me, Keith, as you know, at the American Renaissance Conference. He and I were both speakers last week at the Confab in Nashville. And after his dismissal, Weisberg, honestly, and to speak with candor, reacted in a very bizarre way, as sometimes people do when they are under attack. Here at TPC, we grit our teeth and bear it. We move forward with no retreat, no apology, certainly no surrender. But Weisberg began sacrificing people like myself. He said, "Oh yeah, I was in the room with that guy, but I sure as hell didn't like him." And basically, I'm paraphrasing. But I mean, you know, so this is what they do. When you get attacked, instead of sticking to your guns and said, "Yes, this is what I said, this is what I mean, I'm not going to apologize for it, I believe that I'm right, I have the freedom of speech in this country, if you don't like it, go your own separate way, write what you're going to write, but I'm not going to kowtow to you just because you have a pen or a keyboard in this day and age." But this is what he said. After getting called out for speaking at American Renaissance Conference, he said, "I'm a 1960s colorblind liberal. I was dancing in the street when the 1964 civil rights legislation was passed. I'd rather be called a child molester than a white nationalist." So on and so forth. It gets even worse and more bizarre from there, Keith. So I don't know. I guess some people can't take the bombardment.
So much for Jewish conservatism. You know, that's so typical. First of all, you've got to understand that National Review is neoconservative. Neoconservative is the same thing as saying you're Jewish. The Jews, neoconservatism is almost exclusively a Jewish concocted idea, movement. It basically just is a manifestation of the Jewish desire to own both sides of each coin. They obviously own liberalism, but they don't want to be frozen out if the conservatives get in power, so they decided to redefine conservatism. As Irving Kristol said, he wanted to create a new conservatism that would create conservatives that he wouldn't be ashamed to invite to a cocktail party in Manhattan. That is, if you're, he's going to fumigate the place thoroughly once these so-called conservatives are in. Now, if you want to know why conservatism is so feckless, it's because we have people like Weisberg, wise guy Weisberg, trying to infiltrate into the corridors of an institution like American Renaissance. You're not going to get the truth out of this man. He's there basically to water down the message. And there are so many people like Weisberg. Derbyshire, quite frankly, I don't think quite fits into this category, so he is exempt from what I'm saying. But there are so many white Gentiles that decide that they've got to observe all the taboos that Jewish neoconservatism would place on them. They're not going to talk about race. They're not going to talk about Jewish power and influence. And quite frankly, people that have instincts towards conservatism are drawn to these people because they're in the mainstream. They see them quoted in their daily newspaper. They see these people on the talking head shows on the alphabet soup networks, ABC, NBC, CNN, CBS, yada, 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 as they said on Seinfeld. And they think this is legitimate conservatism, and they wonder why they can't seem to get down to brass tacks on anything. Well, it's obfuscation. That's why we here at the, you know, the hour is short. We've got 30 years at the most to turn things around, to let the light bulb shine brightly on what is ailing us. And anybody that gives you anything less than the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is what they require in the courts of law, they're going to basically be part of the problem rather than part of the solution. And Weisberg is the type of person that, quite frankly, ought to be banned from any legitimate conservative organization, because he's just there to put down a false trail and to send people running down the wrong rabbit hole. And he's proven that by his comments. We need people that are going to really bite the bullet and educate the people about what is really behind liberalism. They're going to find out who, you know, black people are just being used, so are Hispanic people. The people that are masterminding this are Jews, and the Jews are masterminding it because they want not to help blacks, not to help Hispanics, but they want to harm white Gentiles. We're the only group with the intelligence and the numbers necessary to successfully challenge their bid for cultural hegemony, and consequently we're the big real enemy. And somebody that will not see, that's what paleoconservatism does. It tells you the truth. It doesn't try to, for example, I was listening to Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention today talking about how he worships at the feet of Abraham Lincoln, how he has Abraham Lincoln's bust in his office. Well, if he's on the side of Abraham Lincoln, he's on the side of big government, and particularly big federal government, basically grinding state government and local government under its heels.
And hence the name of the Southern Baptist Convention, of which he is the president. So this is a Southerner that worships at the foot of Lincoln. I don't want to get off topic here, Keith, but something's
Since it's Confederate History Month, it's really not off topic. But what it shows you is this. You've got to understand why we say liberalism is the modern face of evil. Every aspect of liberalism is bad. Even the civil rights movement that Richard Land wants to give a pass to, even the antebellum abolitionist movement. Real liberalism was born in the French Revolution, which was before the antebellum abolitionist movement. Antebellum abolitionists, people like Gilbert Haven, William Lloyd Garrison, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, people like this, were considered radical nut jobs by the average citizen, both North and South of America, before the Civil War. They were liberals. People that try to pretend that they aren't are just trying to pacify liberals who hate their guts and will not be pacified, just like Robert Weisberg was trying to pacify his critics. They don't care. It's like a Stalinist show trial. They're up here trying to beg and plead about what good Bolsheviks they are as they drag them out of the court, tie them to the post, and line up the firing squad, James.
Keith Alexander doing what Keith Alexander does best. He's now getting a well-deserved drink of Diet Coke here to rest those vocal cords. But no, I mean, great commentary from Keith. If you want to read more about the issues to which he was providing commentary, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Almost inevitably, anything that we bring up for you on the show will be anchored with facts and links and things of that nature at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. In other words, you can go there for further information, further research. And we are rocking and rolling here and in the online chat room and virtual fan party as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you go there, you can click on the link featured prominently at the very top of our blog roll. It says simply visit our online chat right now, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time. Just click on that one, link over to the chat, and you will be there with us and a plethora of TPC fans from all around the world. They're in there. And also joining them right now, Keith, is political cesspool producer Art Frith, who worked with us in studio from the years of 2005 to 2007. You know, Art, who does Art remind me of? Art kind of reminds me of that Beach Boy that was part of the band during the early years. And then, you know, he didn't go out and tour with them anymore, but he still collects the royalties. He still gets to bask in the glow of that original celebrity because Art was with us during the early days. Even though he hasn't been in studio with us for years now, he still is a rock star. I mean, you know, he walks into the chat room and they lay down, they blanket the floor with palm leaves. Yeah. Don't go away. Oh, man. Art Frith. A great man. Great guy, man. We had a lot of memories with Art.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. We're having too much fun in the chat right now, I tell you. Art Frith, Art Frith's holding court now. He's doing his comedy routine there online. Just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Come on over to the chat, and you can see what's going on in there. It's we're having a party, I'm telling you. All right, Keith, we're going to do something that we don't do well here. with you. And that is because you have a talent, and that is for dissecting an issue better than any member of the staff and just laying it out there, getting it analyzed, providing the commentary. You really blow them out. We're going to do rapid fire here. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like on ESPN, they do this. I'm going to set a timer. You got a minute to respond to each one. At a minute, the mic gets cut off and we go to the next, and that's how they do it. So you got a minute. You get as far as you can. I want to do this, and then I want to give you a few words to say about Confederate History Month, which we'll be celebrating during the night's third hour, and I know you'd like to say something about it before your hour is up. So number one, with 1 minute, Southern Baptist leadership, you mentioned Richard Land. Did he finally get something right? What happened? Did he just wake up on the right side of the bed and make a mistake and tell the truth? He said that basically, in a nutshell, Obama is using Trayvon Martin to reestablish and resolidify his base. What's up with that?
Well, he's tiptoeing through the tulips as usual. He really knows that conservatives are his audience, but he wants to have a sinecure in the mainstream media. So consequently, he knows he can't get off the reservation and talk about what really ails America, which is race and Jewish power and influence, the two most taboo of taboo topics. That's why he pretends that he is a big friend of the civil rights movement, that he's down with Abraham Lincoln, he's down with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and as a result, his audience of true-believing Southern Baptists is thoroughly dazed and confused. They don't know what in the world's going on. They're never going to get out of the woods listening to somebody like Richard Land. Richard Land went to Harvard, thoroughly vetted by the elite establishment. He's been put in place to make sure they don't get anybody in there like Adrian Rogers from Memphis, who was head of the Southern Baptist Convention, who basically started purging Southern Baptist seminaries of moderates and liberals on their staffs.
Keith, 57 seconds. Not bad, not bad. So I'm going to reset the stopwatch here and give you another one. Eva Longoria, we all know her from Desperate Housewives fame. She was on Fox News not too long ago. She hates whites so bad, Keith, one of the white Gentile hosts said that she should be elected president, and that she said, well, if she was, the first thing she would do would be to paint the White House. Now, she, you know, paint it brown, black, a different color, either way. Come to find out later, Eva Longoria participated in a study of her genetic makeup with none other than Henry Louis Gates, and come to find out, she is 70% European stock. So she hates white people. She hates them so much she wants to paint the White House a different color. And as she says that, the white Gentile host of Fox News laugh and guffaw, and they're all excited at their own mocking. Then come to find out, she's 70% white herself. What do you make of it, 60 seconds or less?
Two things. First of all, on the 70%, that just shows you that the one-drop rule that our ancestors used to talk about, one drop of black blood and you're black, still applies. She wants to be black. She wants to disregard 70% of her heritage. And as a result, it doesn't, you know, these liberals that say, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all merged into a beige people? Well, we wouldn't. There would still be this anti-white animus that is the basic driving force behind the left and liberalism today. That's how cultural Marxism differs from classical Marxism. And that's how today's liberalism differs from the liberalism of, you know, let's say the French Revolution, for example. It's anti-white. Wake up, white people. That's what it's about. And then on the other hand, look at the conservatives. Was conservatives like those commentators on Fox News Channel, who needs liberals? These people are, you know, more than willing to pile on white people. And they are the kept opposition again, and they're never going to lead you out of the woods.
All right, Keith, are you enjoying rapid fire?
I'm doing all right, man.
No, I tell you what, we're on to something here. Okay, last one, and then we'll get into Confederate History Month for the time we have left. I asked this question, Keith, of everybody on the blog. As you know, the big $640 million jackpot was dispersed in the Mega Millions a couple of weeks ago. Apparently, it was split three ways. What would you do, Keith, if you won $105 million? Would you hide the winning ticket at the local McDonald's, as a Haitian immigrant claims that she did, and wait for the hullabaloo to die down, or would you do something else with it?
I would probably get you a hair transplant. But let me tell you, here's what I would do. I would be generous with my friends and neighbors, and I would probably try to figure out some way to start a charity to help white people send their children to private schools, since public schools have been stolen from them. And furthermore, all the normal charities that ought to be there helping white people have been totally co-opted by the left, so that all of their beneficence is directed at non-whites. That's what's happened in Memphis. That's what's happened throughout the nation. That's what's happened throughout the world. But, you know, what did Grandma used to say? You can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. If you want to see bad behavior personified, just look and see how somebody like this person reacts at the total windfall of getting winning $1 million lottery or multi-million dollar lottery. Her greed comes to the fore. You know, a generous instinct or a generous gesture is beyond them.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, with all of those stories that were included in the little rapid-fire segment we did just then, you can learn more about them and watch corresponding videos at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. A couple of things we didn't get a chance to mention. I reposted Sam Dixon's epic on Abraham Lincoln entitled Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln. It is worth a read to everyone who is interested in Confederate History Month or not. It's just a great read about the man Lincoln was, Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln. That's there at our website this week. Also, Confederates in Brazil. It appears as though a significant number of Southerners eager to escape the horrors of Reconstruction settled down in Brazil, and their descendants, shortly after the war they did, and their descendants still celebrate Southern history in Brazil, no less. Those stories as well can be found. Keith, we have just a couple of minutes with you left before we get into the second hour, which will bring on our featured guests, Jared Taylor and Reverend Ted Pike. With the time we have remaining this hour, though, Keith, any thoughts on that or anything else you'd like to say about Confederate History Month?
Well, the thing about Confederate History Month that I want to touch on, and I never want to let a single week go by in the month of April without at least touching briefly on Confederate history. Confederate history isn't over. The Civil War isn't really over. Basically, it's just like Faulkner said, the history isn't history. It isn't even past. We're still living it. The red state, blue state divide that is basically animating everything in American politics today, and particularly the upcoming presidential election, is just the latest manifestation of a fissure that's existed in American political life since the end of the era of good feelings around 1824. There's been a total contest between basically the descendants of the old Confederacy, which would be the old Confederacy, the border states and the interior West and parts of the Midwest, versus the left coast and the East Coast, blue state America and the upper Midwest. We are basically two countries still. The fact that these people, you're going to get the acid test of just how radical and liberal blue state America is. We're going to see how many of those states actually go for Obama in the next presidential election. People that think that Obama is a good president and ought to be elected have nothing in common with the average citizen of Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho, Montana, you just name it. We are two countries, and we have been. And basically the reason we had a civil war was because the people in the South came to this realization, and they said, we're never going to control our own destiny until we become a separate nation, because as long as we have these people attached to us, and particularly if they are in control then as they are now of our federal governmental structure, we're never going to be able to have the right of self-determination that our ancestors fought for. You know, the South and Red State America needs to lead. Back when people from Red State America really led America, as in the original founding, all the people from Virginia like Jefferson, Madison, Washington, people like that, that was the best days of our republic. When people from Blue State America started getting in control, that's when things started to go downhill, James.
Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Alexander doing his duty tonight for the first hour, as he always does. And just want to remind you that we are just getting started tonight. Both Jared Taylor and Reverend Ted Pike are on deck for a
1 hour down.
Very busy second hour coming up right after these words from our sponsors. Join us in the online chat. In the meantime, we'll be back with you in just a few minutes to pick it up where we're leaving it off. James Edwards here, and I'll be seeing you in a few.
The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting,
hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the 80s.